believe God? Do you believe Him with conditional expectations? In other words, do you believe only when you think you can see what He's going to do? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim brings us a powerful message on believing God and the obedience which that trust must impose. It's a compelling message for today. So here is Pastor Jim.
Luke chapter 9, beginning in the 10th verse. On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowd learned it, they followed him. And he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God. He cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go to the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and to get provisions. For we are here in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." For there was about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so, and had them all sit down, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd, and they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Oh, Father, we ask that you speak to us today through this text, revealing yourself, Lord, drawing to yourself those who are of your elect, Lord, those who are yours, drawing them, Lord, that they would be saved. And we give you glory. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. So what we have is the apostles have just returned from Jesus sending them out. Last week we looked at Jesus sending the 12 out. How he gave them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal people. And so now they have gone on this missionary journey, so to speak, and they've come back and they've gathered up and they're ready to start sharing with Jesus all the things that they had experienced. Now, think about the fact that they had been with Jesus. They had seen him do the miracles, but they themselves were spectators of it. They may have assisted in one way or another, but when they got sent out, they were doing the miracles in Jesus' power, in Jesus' authority. Think of the excitement from what they have seen and done while they've been out. So they're sharing with each other, they're sharing with Jesus, and so Jesus gathers them together. He says he took them and he withdrew away. He went to a more desolate place so that they could get some rest and so that they could share all the joy that was inside them and just bursting open. We get that, don't we? When we see God moving and doing things within our congregation and within our families and within our life, doesn't it get exciting to share that? You know, how sad is it for those who do not trust God enough to share those things publicly? How sad is that when they can't just, wherever they go and whoever they talk to, share them because they can't trust God enough to take care of them and that people might be offended. So they go off to this place. Now this particular miracle is in all 4 Gospels. There's only one other miracle that's in all 4 Gospels. Anyone know what that is? The resurrection. That's the only other one that's in all 4. And this one, each of the Gospels has a few additional details, but this one is so together as they share about it. Some of those details are actually when to go away, they got into a boat to go away, to withdraw. But we see in verse 11 that the crowds learned or figured out or knew where they were going. They figured it out from the direction they were heading, from where they saw them going. And so the crowds actually got there before Jesus did. And that would lend to further support the fact that they went by boat, because the crowd, it says, was, they were moving quickly or running along the seashore. And so they get there, and as Jesus comes off of the boat, as Jesus comes to that place, the crowd is there. You know, in ministry sometimes, when whether you're in the pulpit or in the pew, when we're in ministry sometimes, we do get tired, don't we? Not tired of, just tired. And sometimes we need to withdraw for a little bit of rest, don't we? In fact, didn't God set up a day of rest for us every week? Oh, how often those who are in ministry for the wrong reasons, and those who do not really know Christ, when those who are desiring to be ministered to, when those who are in need come calling, we send them away. That's not what Christ did. What Christ did, it says there in verse 11, He welcomed them. Another way of saying is He loved them. He had compassion on them. Another one of the Gospels says, and He spoke to them of the kingdom of God. So He began to teach them. Wherever He went, the teaching was always first at hand. The people came for the miracles, many of them. The people came for what they would see. The people came for the sideshow, but He gave them the kingdom of God. He shared the kingdom of God with them. And yes, He cured those who had need of healing. That's part of having compassion. He did what He could for them. He did what He could to show them that kind of love. So we see this take place over and over, don't we? We see the interruptions over and over. Now, be honest with yourself. I don't need to see your hand, but be honest with yourself. Do you take interruption well? When you have something that you've planned out, you've laid out, something that's on your mind, something you're intending to do, and ministry comes in, do you take that well? If the answer is no, brothers and sisters, please take that to the Lord in prayer. Because if you don't take that well, then you are not living as Christ has called you to live if you are His. I didn't ask you if you liked it. That's a whole other story. How do you take it and what do you do with it? Because interruptions is part of ministry. Interruptions is part of serving God in this world. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready to bring God's Word in what? In season and out of season, right? Or in other words, when we're ready and when we're not ready, we need to be prepared to bring God's Word. Throughout the years of listening to sermons of good, solid Bible preachers, a number of times over the years I've heard a teacher or a preacher say that they were sick or that something took place and they needed an elder or a deacon to step in, and praising how that elder or deacon was ready in a moment's notice. Always prepared. That's how we should all be, isn't it? I'm not saying that you should be prepared to step up here. Some of you should. In fact, I'll go as far as to say some of you are. I've made that phone call to some of you late on a Saturday night and said, would you? And you don't say no or maybe. You say yes. But that's how we need to be ready. You know, for years, my preaching was pulpit supply. And I would get call on Sunday mornings often that a church needed somebody to preach that morning. So I needed to be ready to go off and to do that. So when the crowd came, Jesus taught them. You know, the real question isn't, is this an interruption? The real question isn't, is it out of line for people to continue to seek out Christians to hear and to know what it is that God has to say? The real question is, are we obedient to Him? And do we trust in His sovereignty? Because if God is sovereign, who interrupts you and I that He is not sovereign over? What interruption to you and I is He not sovereign over? Problem is, and I'm so guilty, we get so busy with our own agenda that his agenda is set aside. We get too worried about what it is that we're doing next. We get too busy with that pot roast that's in the crock pot. We get too busy with whatever it is. And we miss the opportunity of the interruption. So today, as we look at this text, I want us to see not just the interruption, but the mercy and love of Christ. So as he's teaching them, and as he's healing them, and as he is loving them, and as he is showing compassion on them, the 12 who have been out doing this and have just come back get to a point in the day when they come to Jesus. Verse 12. Now the day began to wear away. Isn't that an interesting way of putting it? Not just that it was getting long, but the day was getting late, but the day was wearing away. And the 12 came and said to him, and I want you to listen to what they said. Send the crowd away. Not, Master, what should we do with this crowd? Not, Lord, this crowd must be hungry. But they came and said, send them away. In other words, let me put it this way. They commanded Jesus to send the crowd away. You know, I can't imagine commanding Jesus to do anything. How about you? What do you suppose brought them to the place where they felt they could command Jesus to send the crowd away? When we are serving God and He gives us success in ministry according to whatever we believe the success is, and success, honestly, is in the mind of the person individually, we begin to become proud and haughty. We begin to get to a place where we begin to think that we have done something. The authority and the power that the apostles used as they went from town to town was whose authority? Was whose power? It was God's. It was that of Christ. They began to think it was theirs. Don't we do that? You know, somebody comes up after church and says, oh, Pastor Jim, that was a good sermon. I have to be careful not to break my arm patting myself on the back. Because I know if it was a good sermon, it had nothing to do with me. If they come up and say, well, that wasn't so whoopee today, there's me. That's my part of it. But if it was something other than that, that's God. And we ought not to take the glory for what God does, right? But we do, don't we? We all do. When God has used us in ministry and those things are seeming to be successful, and all of a sudden we're thinking, we have done a good job. I'm going to write a book. I tell you, there's a lot of books in the Christian bookstore because somebody thought they were successful and wanted to share with everyone else how to be successful. I can tell you how. Do what God calls you to do with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, as you love Him with all that. And the success will come by Him. So I believe that they had begun to think of themselves as having done these things. Since He had given them the ability and the power and the authority to do it. And so now, you know, not only have they not had the opportunity to share their stories that are just bursting within them, but they're tired. And so they go to Jesus and tell Him to send the crowd away. To go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and to get provisions. Because they were in a desolate place. Not only had they seemingly begun to think more highly of themselves, but they forgot who it was they were talking. Jesus knew exactly what He was going to do before they ever came to Him. That just might be part of being sovereign, huh? He knew exactly what He was going to do. In fact, one of the other Gospels puts it, is before they ever said anything, He asked them, what were we going to do to feed? And they answered, send them away. Jesus knew exactly what He was going to do. Just as when Jesus would pray, and He would pray and say, Lord, I know that You always hear me, but so that those who are here will know. He says those things out loud, does those things in front of people. It's to grow us, to teach us. You know, I was sharing with someone the other day when I went and got my insurance license to sell insurance back in the, I guess it was early 80s. And I went to Topeka, to the commissioner's office to take this test. And I'm sitting down in the downstairs lobby area waiting to be taken upstairs to take the test. Now, I had studied. It was a book about so thick and, you know, just a regular textbook type of size. And I've studied through it. I've read through it. And I'm sitting there with all these very professional looking people, and I'm a kid. And they're talking about, this is my third time, this is my fourth time, this is my fifth time taking this test. And I'm looking around, they're all older than me. They all look far more professional than me. I mean, I was wearing a Goodwill suit probably that day. I was ready to get up and walk out the door. Because if these people were on their third, fourth, fifth time to take this test, I slid through school. But before I got out of there, while I was still thinking about it, they came and got us and took us upstairs. And so I went up and took the test, and I got done, and I looked around, and nobody else is done. Nobody else is even close to done there. You know, I can see the pages as I look around. So I thought, I must have messed up. So I went back through the test, and I think I changed two answers, if I remember right. And I got done a second time, and nobody else is done. And I thought, I don't know what I did wrong, but I've just blown this. So I took my test up and turned it in. And by the time you get back downstairs, they have your score. And all the way down the steps, I'm thinking of all these questions and what seemed like the right answer, and just knowing I must have really messed it up. And I get downstairs and I get my score, and I missed two questions is all. I passed it with no problem. It was probably the two I changed, yes. But the thing with this is, if I had given up and left, I may never have known. I might not have ever had the courage to go again. When we are presented with the opportunity to serve God, that's the time to do it. When the opportunity happens. Something else I've learned is that the more often you take advantage of the opportunity, guess what? The more often the opportunity presents itself. Not that you do it perfectly. Most certainly not that I do it perfectly. But the faithfulness, the obedience, is what Christ wants. He'll take care of the details, right? You serve Him in those opportunities. You do what is right before Him. They're ready to send the people away. But Jesus knows what He's going to do. Their haughtiness had hindered their faith. They no longer were trusting Jesus the way they had trusted Him just a short time before. And because of that, they're ready to miss the opportunity to see His great, miraculous hand. You know, at this point in the ministry, I would almost guess that His healing miracles, I would almost guess that His casting out demons, for the most part, had kind of become commonplace to Him, don't you think? Where did He go that He didn't cast out demons? Where did He go that He didn't heal somebody? We too often allow God to be common. We do. You know, that's why you never hear me use the word awesome about anything but God. Because I used to allow God to be common. Because I made those names that are set aside for God common. Until somebody pointed it out to me one day, and I was shocked because they were right. But we make God commonplace. And when we make Him commonplace, we no longer see the majestic God He is. We miss His majesty. We miss His greatness. We miss His awesomeness. You know, in marriage we do that, right? I've told the story before about when Cynthia walked into the chapel as I'm standing up front on our wedding day. I could barely contain myself with this beautiful bride that I had. There's times when, after 30 years, coming up soon, 30 years of marriage, I don't think about that moment like I used to. I don't think any less of that moment. I just don't think about it as often as I used to. And when I don't think about those things that are important, without even trying, they become less important, don't they? We can do that with each other, but we definitely do that with God. We allow Him to become commonplace. You know, it's commonplace in this world for people to use the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name of the Father in heaven, Elohim. It is commonplace for people to use that name in vain. Not just as a curse word, that's very commonplace too. But just to use His name without giving glory. To use His name in a way that isn't praise or worship. That is what the third commandment is all about. But we've made Him commonplace. So they weren't even thinking about how they could see Jesus do something they hadn't seen yet. So Jesus says to them, "You give them something to eat." He heard the command from them, "Send the crowd away." You look at His words, that sounds very forceful, doesn't it? You give them something to eat. No, not send them away. You give them something to eat. Pressure's on now, right? What are we going to give them? One of the apostles says, "Well, should we go to town and buy 200 denarii of bread? But what would that be with so many? What are we going to do? How are we going to feed them, Jesus?" But He said that very, very forcefully. Finally, as we look at the other Gospels, we see He says, "Well, what do you have?" Yeah, just a simple question. What do you have? What's out there? What can we feed them? And as He asked that question, they begin to try to figure out, what do we have? And as they try to figure that out, they're looking amongst the crowd. They're trying to decide where they can find something. And finally, Andrew. Now remember Andrew, that's Peter's brother, right? Andrew was one of the first two. He and John were the first two to follow after Jesus when Jesus had come to the river where John the Baptist was baptizing. Andrew says, "Well, there's a boy, there's a lad out here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Basically, this boy had his provisions for the day. But Andrew, now Andrew, one of the things you see about Andrew is he was constantly bringing things and people to Christ. Just bringing them and placing them in front of Him. He was introducing and He was bringing. He brought Peter. He just, that was his thing. He would bring, so he clearly takes this boy and He brings him up and says, "This boy has 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what is that amongst so many? What is that with all these people?" It says in the next verse, 14, there were about 5,000 men. This doesn't count the women and children. Most estimate a minimum of 15,000 people were there. Can you imagine taking 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? And if a boy's carrying them, these weren't Whoppers, okay? 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. And Jesus says, "Well, that's good. We'll just feed them that." You know, I don't think you'd take 5 loaves and 2 fish and everybody take a small bite and get everybody fed. You see, their understanding of Jesus' sovereignty has to grow. Our understanding of Jesus' sovereignty has to grow. Yesterday I did a funeral. And whenever I do a funeral, one of the things I always try to bring out is the story of Lazarus. When Jesus tells Martha, "I am the resurrection." And she said, "Oh yeah, Lord, I know that on the last day my brother will rise again." And Jesus says, "No, I am the resurrection. He who believes in me." And then He says to Martha, He says, "Do you believe this?" "Oh yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And then she runs off and she gets her sister Mary. And Mary comes out and she says the same thing that Martha had said. And Jesus asks her the same thing. "You know, I am the resurrection. Do you believe this?" "Oh yes, Lord. Yes, yes." And so they come to the tomb and Jesus says, "Roll the stone away." And what do the sisters say? "No, he stinks by now. He's been in there 4 days. He's decaying." "I thought you believed." Folks, that's our faith, isn't it? We say we believe, we believe, we believe, and then this opportunity to show we believe comes up. And we kind of believe. That's the faith of the apostles. That's our faith. That's the faith of mankind. We say we believe and we say we trust, but then we don't act like it. If we believe, it is our responsibility to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with everything we have, everything we are. If we believe that, why don't we do it? Wouldn't it look different? Don't look at anybody else. Look at yourself. Wouldn't it look different if you loved the Lord your God that way? But so many things get in the way. And these things get in the way because we love them. And sadly, too often, we love them more than we love the Lord our God. Because we really don't believe it's necessary to love Him in that way. So He tells them to give them something to eat. And they say, well, we got the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. The other ones say, well, you know, we got 200 denarii, but, you know, put all that together and it's not enough to feed this crowd. So Jesus tells them to give Him the fish, to give Him the bread. He takes them. He tells the apostles, He says, set the crowd down in groups of 50, about 50, because there would have been women and children there too. So some of those groups of 50 would be a little bit more or a little less. And so he had them set down in groups of 50. 15,000 people sitting in the grass in anticipation. You know, the apostles wanted to send them away, but the people wanted to see what Jesus was going to do. What was He going to do? You know, one thing that the modern people want to do is to explain away Jesus' miracles. You know, they want to explain away how even the miracle of the Old Testament, how Jonah could be in the belly of a fish and still live. They have ways of explaining that. They want to explain how Jesus raised from the dead. Oh, you know, he wasn't completely dead. And as He laid there, he began to heal. You know, just so many things like this. They want to just explain it away. You know, they want to explain away this miracle too. Before I even get into the miracle, I'll just tell you. One of the things that they say is that Jesus had a cave full of food right around the corner there. And when the people weren't watching, His disciples, His apostles got the food out of the cave. Isn't that reaching? But really, when you think about all the things that they try to explain away about the sovereignty and power and might of our God, they're always reaching. They're always reaching. So they set the people down. Jesus has the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And He raises them up to heaven. You know, this is one of the things that Jesus does regularly that we should most definitely emulate. We should raise up to heaven everything we have, everything we do, and everything we are. He raises it up to heaven. He looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them, over the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He called upon the Father to be revealed, to reveal Him. It says, then He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd.
What a compelling challenge. To trust God enough to believe Him when nothing makes sense. When the evidence of our eyes and the things that we can know don't add up to what God is commanding us to do or just believe. What do? Do we trust the God of the universe, give thanks, and step out? Or do we just make our excuses and flee the scene? Beloved, God is always able to finish what He's begun, and He will never call us to do what He cannot complete. Step out in faith and watch as He shows His power and might to you and through you. We want to thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. Or you can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you, and bless the hearing of His Word.